Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And I have to tell you, this lady and I are sisters from another mother, Mr., whatever we want to call it. We always have so much fun when we chat. And so I am so looking forward to speaking with the wonderful, the adorable, the talented, the anything we want to add in there to say she's fabulous, Ricky Smith. How are you doing today, my dear?
I'm good, my friend. Thank you so much for having me. This is already going to be fun. Should we apologize now? Before
I know, anything. Sorry, folks. You might be laughing a little bit too much. But you're going to learn. I mean, that's the important thing: is you are going to learn because we are going to have so much fun talking. So let me tell people a little bit about you, and then we will jump into this. So Ricky Smith is a seasoned corporate trainer with more than 20 years of experience. She started when she was 4, with an illustrious career dedicated to transforming teams and empowering individuals through dynamic learning experience. Ricky has become a trusted leader in the field of professional development. She is the chief training officer at Stratus Training and Consulting, LLC. Her passion for public speaking and seeing others step onto the stage with confidence is evident in every aspect of her work. Whether she's leading workshops, delivering keynote speeches, or coaching individuals, Ricky brings a unique blend of expertise, enthusiasm, and empathy to every interaction. In her spare time, which I'm not sure when that is, Ricky enjoys binge-watching Asian TV on Netflix. Subtitles and all. She also has a fabulous podcast, Faith on Friday. And I'm not saying that just because I was a guest. So again, Ricky, welcome to our program. Whoa, I know, I need applause noise.
Or something.
Yeah. So very cool. Well, you know, I always like finding out from my guests how it is that they got to where they are today. So tell us about how you got to this point in your life.
Wow. Where do you begin? Well, okay, let's start here. So I'm part of a military family. Mm-hmm. Both my parents were in the Air Force, mm-hmm. and we moved around a lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so everywhere I was brand new all the time.
Right.
And there were some things that I found that were exactly the same everywhere I went, besides me being new. It was people were afraid of other people. Mm-hmm. People were looking for somebody to talk to them mm-hmm. first, to
right.
start this conversation. And friendships were fast and furious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because in about 18 months to 3 years, mm-hmm. you're gone again and you're mm-hmm. doing it all over. Mm-hmm. So I started there. Then I went into the military myself. I went into the Army.
Well, thank you so much for your service.
It was our pleasure to serve. True story. And so I did that. And again, I found the same things though, but now folks are older doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait a minute. I've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same thing though, but now you're in charge. You're supposed to talk to people. You're mm-hmm. supposed to have all the answers. They didn't. Then I got out and I started working in the hospitality industry. Mm-hmm. That is where the flowers began to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
That is my first stint with corporate training.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the participants. And I'm sure like most of your listeners and watch, we've all had to sit through corporate training.
Mm-hmm.
And we hated it. Hated it. It was long. It was boring.
And why are we here?
Not only that, why are we still here? Because it seems to drag for days, whole day wasted. The person teaching it was probably a mortician in their first life because it was so droll.
Yes.
And that is when I figured out there's got to be another way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I basically came up with a better mousetrap.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. I came up with a better, more fun way to do training. Mm-hmm. That was it.
I love it. Now, you know, I mentioned in the bio that you love helping people with speaking, and you do have a great book. It's called Own Your Stage, Public Speaking Tips and Myths.
Yes,
and I always tell anybody who is management level or higher, you need to be a good public speaker. And, you know, even if you are never doing anything besides getting up in front of your team and giving a presentation, you had better be pretty good at it. So talk to us more about that.
Public speaking is a skill, y'all, and you can learn it. The problem with it is people think that, well, if I stand up in front of people and words fall out of my mouth, I'm a public speaker.
Right.
No, you're standing in front of people and words are falling out of your mouth. But there are elements of public speaking that people don't know. And it's so funny, especially small business owners. Small business owners, they are so great at the thing that they do. That's why they started a business. They suck so hard at telling people what they do.
Right. Even their 30-second introduction, right?
Yeah. Because there are elements of it that they are missing. And so what I do as a trainer and as a public speaking coach is I train people on these elements that they're missing. Yes, there are all kinds of speeches that you can do. There's your 30-minute elevator. There's a toast. There's an introduction. There's a keynote. There's a breakout. That all the things. But people don't know that. And there are elements that go in each one of these things. One of the things I tell my client is that you are not broken. You don't need to be fixed. As a public speaking coach, I'm not here to fix you.
Right.
Because your style is perfect. Let's just shine it up a little bit, shall we? And I take it from there. It's funny, in the introduction, you said that I have empathy for people. And I know folks are wondering, why would you need empathy as a corporate trainer, as a public speaking coach? For people have a very strange relationship with public speaking. And when we get started with the coaching part and I ask them, what's been your experience with public speaking? What was the first thing that you remember about your first public speaking? Oh my gosh, it brings up so many emotions.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I get it. It was me too. My first was in high school. Do you remember your first public speaking, Deb?
Oh, I don't know if it would be my first, but I remember having to do them. Now, it's really funny because I'm not shy, right? But I don't always want to be a want to get up and present to people.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of people don't. But in this day and age, especially if you come, I call it from the floor to middle management, not only do you have to do it, there is an expectation that you will. You're going to have presentations. You're going to have to meet clients. You're going to have to introduce people to other people. And in our day of extreme technology, we have forgotten the art of interpersonal communication.
Right.
And that's where I come in.
I love it. I love it. You know, and it is something that we all, you know, like you said, it's a skill. We can learn, we can all get better at it, right?
100%. Yeah.
You know, and it's so funny because people are afraid of it, right? Public speaking death, right? They'd rather die. And I remember one time an interview with the fabulous Barbara Streisand, where she said before she, you know, goes on stage, she throws up. She said it. She is just so filled with, oh my God, I'm going to screw up. You know, and of course, she could get out there and twiddle her thumbs, and we would all go, ooh, right,
yeah.
but yeah, you know, it happens to people, and I think that is, of course, the biggest fear is that we're going to get out there and something will go wrong. You know, and so we either over prepare. So then we get out there and we say, hello, my name is Deb Creer, and I'm going to be telling you today about, right? And my PowerPoint slides have 900 words per slide, and I read them, right?
They're bound towards the audience.
Yes. You know, and I read them in that same monotone because I'm so afraid I'm going to mess up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we all mess up. You know, I remember one time I was giving a training and was, now I speak with my hands. God forbid when they give me a remote control and a handheld mic, because I'm just,
And I'm landing the plane.
You know, and so I'm at the podium and I'm waving my arms and I caught the bottle of water and brought it over onto my front.
Wow.
Now, luckily it was water. And luckily I had a jacket that I just buttoned.
You know?
But of course, what that taught me was don't put the water where I can do that. We made it a joke, right? Rather than being mortified and running off the stage, it was like,
that's right.
Well, damn, yeah. Am I going to win the wet t-shirt contest? You know, and then we went on. But how do you work with people to get them over those fears?
Yeah. First thing we do is let's first identify what your fear is.
Okay.
Are you afraid that you're going to mess up, forget mm-hmm. what you're doing, that mm-hmm. people are going to be mean to you, that mm-hmm. you'll be booed, that you'll trip over the stage? Mm-hmm. Let's first identify what the fear is. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Then let's counter that with what actually, truly happens. Mm-hmm. How likely are you to really fall up the stairs? Mm-hmm. Probably likely. Mm-hmm. When have you literally ever thrown water on yourself?
Right.
Probably not.
Have once.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's usually when it happens, one time. Mm-hmm. Have you ever really thrown up on mm-hmm. stage?
Right.
You know what I mean? So we have to identify that. And then mm-hmm. let's look at the possibility of those things actually happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we talk ourselves into these things happening.
Right.
And now there's self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Don't fall. Splat.
Don't forget. Mm-hmm.
My name is.
Exactly. So that's the first thing we do. Let's identify it. And then secondly, let's counter it. And then thirdly, let's give you some mental exercises mm-hmm. to help you get out of your own head. Mm-hmm. And that is, it sounds so simple, mm-hmm. but it's harder than you think, mm-hmm. especially when you're scared to death. One of the other things we do, we teach people how to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. We get out there and we're holding our breath the whole time.
Or we start taking these short, shallow uh-huh. breaths.
And we hyperventilate.
And you hyperventilate. Mm-hmm. Or worse yet, you get lightheaded. See, mm-hmm. people don't realize when we get nervous, our body starts to react. Mm-hmm. And one of the things it does, it conserves its energy. Mm-hmm. And how mm-hmm. does it do that? Well, let's take short, shallow mm-hmm. breaths, because that's going to help us. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't. It makes you lightheaded. Your brain's mm-hmm. not getting enough oxygen. Right. You start to lose your mm-hmm. voice when you start. Because again, you don't have enough oxygen. Mm-hmm. Then mm-hmm. you don't have enough oxygen. Your body's like, oh, we're shutting down now. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of things happen. So we literally teach people how to breathe
mm-hmm.
and how to breathe with your diaphragm, breathe mm-hmm. with your stomach. Don't breathe with your shoulders, because you've seen this, right? Where people will breathe and they move their shoulders. Like this.
Uh-huh.
That ain't mm-hmm. breathing, y'all. That ain't breathing. So we teach people to breathe from here. Mm-hmm. Let's breathe from here.
Right.
And so that gives your brain some mm-hmm. more oxygen. It keeps you from being lightheaded. Mm-hmm. It helps you keep remembering the things you're mm-hmm. supposed to remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. Then another thing we do, we tell people don't memorize anything.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because when you memorize it, guess what happens? Your brain loves order. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, the brain mm-hmm. is an amazing computer. And when you memorize something, mm-hmm. you've given it its marching order. This
right.
is the order in which we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what happens. When you lose your place, your brain stops. When your brain stops, so mm-hmm. do you. Because it's trying to find, wait, where are we? And now you're standing on stage going, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
because your brain is trying to mm-hmm. find its place. Don't mm-hmm. memorize anything. So we have exercises to help mm-hmm. people not to memorize, but still practice.
Right. Yeah. You know, I took an extemporaneous speaking class way back in college. Right. I remember you still made notes so that mm-hmm. you had, you know, your ducks kind of in a row, but then, you know, but the key was that you never even really, looked at them, you know, and so because you have them on your cards, right? You drop your cards or they get out of order. I mean, you know, all of those various things.
All the things.
And it is about just being comfortable with what you're saying. I mean, that is ultimately what it comes down to.
Yeah, that and knowing what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I tell any new speakers, you know, please don't try to speak on something that you're not real familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cause some undue stress.
Mm-hmm.
But because we are humans and we're all part mm-hmm. of the human condition, we've got so many stories mm-hmm. and so many points of things that we can do. One of the things that we teach people is organize your talk.
Mm-hmm.
Organizing your talk, it helps you with your practice.
Right.
It helps mm-hmm. you not memorize. It helps you feel more comfortable mm-hmm. and it will keep you on track. But a lot of times when you're not a trained speaker,
mm-hmm.
you are like, I have this amazing story. I can't wait to tell everybody. Oh my gosh. And then it starts with what had happened was, or once upon a time, back
uh-huh.
in the day. And it goes off the rails
right
from there.
Because your brain goes, ooh, I remember the sky was blue and it hadn't rained. And yeah.
And it was 3:37 p.m. and I had on the cutest yellow dress. Oh my mm-hmm. gosh. And I was walking. Nobody cares.
Right.
What is it to do with what mm-hmm. we're talking about? Mm-hmm. So try to help people mm-hmm. organize your talk. Mm-hmm. We talk about storytelling because mm-hmm. we love a good story.
Right.
I do. Mm-hmm. I love a good story. Mm-hmm. And that is why some book series are, you look at Harry Potter, mm-hmm. that woman wrote a phenomenal story.
Right.
Twilight wrote mm-hmm. a phenomenal mm-hmm. story. It, any of the book series, mm-hmm. there's one I'm into now. It's so neat. It's called The Lunar Chronicles. If you're into fantasy stuff, mm-hmm. super good. Mm-hmm. She tells a great story, mm-hmm. but there are elements in a talk where your story goes, but there are things you need to know about your story mm-hmm. when you're doing it as a talk
right.
or as a presentation. Right. You have to, I tell my clients, tell your story with a broad brush.
Mm-hmm.
You're not painting the Sistine Chapel.
Right.
You don't have mm-hmm. that kind of time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So skip the, I wore a yellow dress. It was 2:37 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we
right.
try to help people get there. Because the meat of your topic is mm-hmm. this. The story is supposed to enhance mm-hmm. it, not take it over.
Right. So does the story have to be 100% true? 50% true, you know, especially if you're saying that it was you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to do the "I heard one time about this," you know, but if it's you, how much of it has to be true?
Okay, so I love that question. In this day and age of fact checking, mm-hmm. my suggestion is if it ain't at least 90% true, mm-hmm. keep it to yourself,
mm-hmm.
or make sure people know that this part ain't it, but this right. part is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we teach people how to do that as well. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on where you're speaking, because in the book, we talked a lot about this. Find out when you're speaking, where you're speaking. Mm-hmm. Is it indoor, outdoor, morning, noon, mm-hmm. night, who's your group, blah, 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 all the things. Mm-hmm. You may be able to take some liberties that mm-hmm. you may not otherwise be able to right. take depending on your audience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Again, we're back to speak on what you know. Mm-hmm. Don't make it up. Not mm-hmm. in this day and age right. of fact checking, because mm-hmm. they will fact check you mm-hmm. in real time.
Right. Well, and of course, it's okay to change the names, you know, to protect the innocent. I love that. You know, that's always. But yeah, I mean, when we're talking about, hey, I worked with X client. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to say X client, you know, because that just sounds kind of funny. But I'm also, it's now, if I'm bragging on them, I use
that's
the
different.
But if it's, oh my God, these were the most horrible people in the world. You don't know, you know, because
no.
yeah, don't go there.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to bash people in right. your story. You don't want to make it up so mm-hmm. much that people can't, it's too mm-hmm. fantastical to
right.
be real
mm-hmm.
unless you have pictures, mm-hmm. audio or witness.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm right. saying, you know, but yeah, you got to make sure that your story is relevant. Mm-hmm. true to the audience mm-hmm. and with the ability mm-hmm. to be checked on depending mm-hmm. on what it is.
Right. Oh yeah. You know, because the worst thing you want is for somebody to put their little hand up and say, I just read
me.
That
mm-hmm,
you did
there.
Not attend X university or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. There was an article recently, a few years ago, where a gentleman was running around telling everybody that when he was in Vietnam, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, all these things. Come to find out, he was never there.
Oh,
he was never in the military. And he was talking to other military veterans.
Oh, bad, bad, bad.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's that's a crime. Mm-hmm. It's a misdemeanor in some areas. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and not only that, you're not going to speak again. I mean, you know, because
oh,
in
no.
this day and age of social media, woof, you know, that got
it's
out there really thing. Fast. You know, yeah. now could he have used it to, you know, just to, could he have flipped the script? Maybe, but yeah. nobody's going to trust anything he says.
Never again. And he had medals that, you know, because now you can buy them on Amazon,
right.
but you know,
mm-hmm.
he had the medals, the whole thing,
ooh.
He show up in uniform and yeah, it was a big thing.
Yikes. Yeah. And I tell you, you know, you don't poke fun at the military. And I mean, that's the thing is that would have been how that came across. Even if he was
exactly.
showing how wonderful he thought it was, that impersonation thing would have not gone over well.
That whole thing. Yeah.
You know,
it's like, you know, in my talks, depending on where I tell a story of how I found out that I was a black girl. You can't fact check it because you weren't in the fourth grade with me. But it's a true story. There was crying. It's everything. True story. You know, but it's stuff like that. These stories, but I tell it for the relevancy, if you will, of the actual topic. So, and that's another thing. We helping people get your stories organized. Keeps you from going off the rail and losing your audience. Because again, as a public speaker, don't get it twisted. You're not up there for yourself.
No.
I promise you're not. You're up there for your audience. And if your audience is interested in the thing that you're saying, the thing you're selling, the thing that you are actually presenting, you're going to have them already. Right. Now, keep in mind, you are serving them with your talk. They're not doing you any favors. You're there for them. And if you're there for any other reason than that, believe me, you're more entertaining than training.
Right. And there is a difference, right? There are entertainers. And, you know, and now that's not to say that we shouldn't be entertaining in our speech.
Different.
But yeah, I mean, you know, we're not up there just telling jokes and you know, reciting Shakespeare.
Exactly. But there are different kinds of speakers. When people say, oh, I'm a public speaker, everybody's mind automatically goes to motivational speaker.
Yeah.
Well, that is a broad term. You know, there are different speaking types. You have the informational speaker, which is data, facts, facts, all things data, facts. Then you do have the motivational speaker, the one that's like, rah, rah, system bop, let's go and take that hill. Then you have the inspirational speakers. Those are the ones that are going to speak to your soul, to the bigger picture of a thing. Then you have transformational speakers. Those are the ones that want to take you from where you are and get you to somewhere else. And what we do is we have an assessment because we want to find out where you fit in the public speaking realm of things, if you will. Then we look at what it is you talk about. Who's your audience? Who do you want to talk to? What stories are you telling? How can we tweak it based on where you think you are? And then, of course, you do have your entertainers. There are entertainment speakers. They are fun and funny, and they leave you feeling like, man, that was the best chat ever. But there are also times when you kind of combine a couple of them together.
Right. And again, it's what do you need for that audience? I got heckled one time. I mean, heckled. And it was because I didn't know my audience. So it was entirely on me. So I was giving a LinkedIn presentation to a group of people who were out of work. Now, that was pretty much all I had been told was, hey, come and speak to our group. You know, talk to us about how we can beef up our LinkedIn profiles, yada, yada, yada. And so, you know, I'm going through and the first mistake was I did not know that they were all engineers. So, of course, facts and figures are going to be far more important to them. And so, and then the other mistake I made was the royal we. You know, well, we've done this and we've done that, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm giving the presentation and this gentleman comes in late. Now, he also, hello, I'm here, you know, bangs in through the door, all of this stuff. I mean, you know, he, and you could tell from the reaction, this was not something that was uncommon. He always would make an appearance. And so, of course, he comes in and he can't find the right chair and right?
Oh, my goodness.
And so, you know, I did kind of pause to let him get settled because you don't want to try and talk over stuff like that, right?
Sure.
But so, you know, then I go on with my presentation and I royal weed. And, you know, and he stops me. Now, he's in the back, right? Because he came in late. And he stops me and he says, you cannot say we because you have never had that happen to you.
Woo!
And he was right. So I acknowledged that. I said, yes, sir, you are right. And luckily, mentally, I was able to switch and do really pretty quickly. But, you know, and so we went, and then he interrupted me at least one more time, maybe more. And again, you can tell from the way people reacted with the,
Here we go.
I finally said, sir, and you know, it was one of those drop the tone of voice, right? And become mom, right? And I said, sir, it is clear you don't want to be here. And so I would politely ask you to leave.
Yeah.
room. I mean, it was like, you know, they clearly, you know, they were, and nobody had ever told him, get your, you know what, out.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so he did, you know, he, of course he left with as much fanfare as he came with. And then he met me out in the parking lot and I was a little like, and he apologized. I mean, it was, and very he nice. Said, you know, I've been out of work a long time. I'm feeling a lot of pressure and so that we actually had a pretty good conversation, but I mean, the whole thing was dealing with that heckler. I mean, I mm-hmm. acknowledged him, which yep. sometimes you want to do, sometimes you don't. I mean, you know, it's like the 3-year-old who's misbehaving. Are exactly. you giving him fuel for the fire or, you know, but it really made me think when I'm getting ready to do a presentation, I absolutely positively right. have to know who I'm speaking to,
and that is one of the things.
The majority of people do such and such. No, they wanted, you know, 52.8%, and things like yep. that. That's what's so important is that is part of that being.
Know your audience. Mm-hmm. And again, as a speaker, one of the things that we train and we put it in the book also is that you need to know your audience.
Right.
How much do they know mm-hmm. about your topic? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How familiar are they with right. the industry yeah. that you're talking about?
Are you going to be talking about something at a level that bores them to tears because they know yes. what it is? Or are you mm-hmm. going to go over their heads?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you need to know that. That's why anytime somebody gets a speaking invitation, mm-hmm. you know, it's like Christmas, like, oh my God, they want me to speak. I'm amazing. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And you go and you prepare. But the only thing you've prepared is your talk. Mm-hmm. You haven't prepared by talking to the person that hired you. Mm-hmm. What is your expectation? Mm-hmm. What is it that they want to know? Mm-hmm. Who am I speaking to?
Right.
Where?
What else is going on? You know, if I'm yeah. the keynote, what are some of the other things?
Yeah. Who else is there? Am I sharing the stage with other people? I mean, there are so many things. Mm-hmm. And we have this checklist that we kind of give to our clients about things, everything from mm-hmm. what to wear and what to mm-hmm. ask. What right. AV mm-hmm. is available? What do you need to bring? That, 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 all the things. Because horror story, love this one. So one time when back in the day, when I started speaking, what'd you say? I was 4. Sure. Yes. We'll go mm-hmm. with that. So when I was 4 and I started speaking, somebody invited me. I was super excited. Oh my God. Yeah. And I did not think to ask some things because I was still new in the game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I had on the prettiest green outfit. Oh my God, girl. Ooh, mm-hmm. I look like a goddess. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm on stage and guess what they have? A green screen.
So you disappeared.
I disappeared. And I was a floating head with lovely hands.
Uh-huh.
Horrified. Mm-hmm. Horrified. Mm-hmm. First time, last time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And mental note, you got to ask these questions. Because I didn't think to bring mm-hmm. another top, another outfit, mm-hmm. anything. Mm-hmm. Luckily, at that particular event, somebody said, I have a jacket yeah. that you can mm-hmm. wear. I was like, oh my God, that'd mm-hmm. be great. Mm-hmm. And that's how we did it. Still wasn't perfect, but it was way better than mm-hmm. the floating head. Oh, and yeah. these are things that we try to train people on because it's stuff you don't think about.
Right.
You really don't. Somebody asked mm-hmm. me to speak, so I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Well, and are you dressed to the nines and everybody else is in jeans and shorts? Because
yeah.
you look at them and you're going to be like, well, don't they think they're special?
And it's the distraction.
Your brand, right? I mean, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. I do not own a business suit anymore. Now I have jackets, I have nice slacks, but I don't have a business suit. I can tone up and tone down what it is that I'm wearing.
And that's one of the biggest questions that we get, you know. So in the different kinds of programs that we offer, mm-hmm. we have one where it's a 2-hour thing. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes in, they're going to have a speaking engagement mm-hmm. and they want to go over it. They want to mm-hmm. ask questions. Mm-hmm. Right. We can do that. I'll sit with you for 2 hours. Let's get your life together. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that people ask me a lot is, Ricky, what should I wear?
Right.
And then I start asking them questions. Mm-hmm. Are you speaking in morning, noon, or night?
Right.
Are you speaking indoor or outdoor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there going to be breeze?
Because these things matter. Mm-hmm. You know, winter, spring, summer, right. fall. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about what you're doing. And a lot of times we get, well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. So that means you haven't done your venue mm-hmm. walkthrough, right. have you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you up on a stage where a short skirt might not be a good thing?
Girl, Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want that. Here's my other horror story. So somebody said, will you speak? And I was, again, all excited. I'd be asked to. Did not do a walkthrough. Didn't care. Girl, we were in a ballroom with a curtain between two, not like the ballroom things. Uh-huh. It was an actual curtain. Oh. And there was another lady speaking on the other side. And I was speaking on this
side. So you were competing.
Horrible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely mm-hmm. horrible.
Right.
But these are things like that. Mm-hmm. So when they ask, what should I wear? I tell people this thing, same thing. Be as dressy as you would be like going to a mm-hmm. wedding or to church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The end.
Yeah.
Now, unless you, because another thing we talk about are distractions when mm-hmm. you're talking. For women, our earrings, mm-hmm. necklaces, tight skirts, low cut mm-hmm. things, and bling jewelry.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not, shall we?
Yeah.
Because any of that takes mm-hmm. away from your talk.
Well, and if they have lights, they could be catching some of that. And
mm-hmm, catching mm-hmm. the lights. Or if you turn your head mm-hmm. and you have a lavalier type, your uh-huh. earring hits it.
Yeah, and then you're hung up and you're hanging yourself. And
you're doing all the things. And if your blouse is low cut, that's a distraction. Mm-hmm. If your skirt's too tight, too mm-hmm. short, that's a distraction. Mm-hmm. Things like that. For men, unless you're wearing, you know, unless you're going to mm-hmm. a, I don't know, an animal thing, leave your lighted animal tie at home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Take stuff out of your pocket.
Yes. Do not do the key jingle.
Come on, y'all. Oh, uh-huh. mm-hmm. Your mm-hmm. phone. You know, we have the phone holsters and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Take that thing off. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. Because as an audience member, we're easily distracted.
Right.
If you're wearing your phone mm-hmm. holster and it's showing, guess what we're waiting for?
We're waiting for it to buzz.
To ring. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're being distracted. So mm-hmm. it's stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Make sure that what you're wearing is appropriate. Mm-hmm. If you're doing the 4-H club in the middle of the farmer's mm-hmm. field, your 4-inch heels or $300 right. alligator suit
no.
and $700 suit mm-mm. probably ain't going to put on some jeans and a polo mm-hmm. and go do your top.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, and look at it in the mirror. You know, I have a horror story. Luckily, it wasn't me. But I went to this presentation. Now, this was for a government entity where 95% of the audience were men. And this young woman was up there presenting. Now, God bless her. She's a little out of shape, you know, so she's a little curvy, right? And her top, it was not low cut, but it was too short. And so when she would raise her arms to point at her screen, we got far more tummy than we wanted to see. And so, you know, and of course this was, she was gesturing a lot. And so, you know, she's gesturing, and pretty soon people are, you know, first you had the giggle, giggle, then the giggle, giggle, and then you just had the guffaws. She has no idea why. She has absolutely no idea why. So what happens? Somebody goes on stage and tells her.
Oh, good night.
And so, of course, she spends the entire rest of the presentation one hand holding down her top. Now, you know, it was now the funny thing, she had a jacket. She should have just buttoned the jacket. But yeah, you know, I tell people, especially women, bend mm-hmm. over, pick, you know, do all these things in front of a mirror or a friend. Yeah, yeah. You know, am I going to show something I really didn't want to show? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, and again, the men who leave the stuff in their pockets and do the jingle, 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 you know, men, get your hands out of your pockets. Just period. Don't have them in there.
Don't have them in there. Mm-hmm, yeah. And we do. We train that too. You know, for men, like I said, I say take everything out of your pockets. Mm-hmm. It's not so much about the jingle, jingle, but the mm-hmm. unsightly bulges.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're just not even going to go there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just,
yeah. Because your mind goes, ooh.
Oh, God, and why is it shaped like that? So, you know, take everything out of your pockets. Don't put your hands in your pockets. Right. But again, speaking is a skill that mm-hmm. can be learned.
Right.
In order to learn it, you need to get some training. Mm-hmm. Everybody's mm-hmm. like, well, Ricky, you know, I learned it at Toastmasters. Hey, I was a Toastmaster mm-hmm. for 10 years.
Fabulous.
Can you mm-hmm. absolutely love it? Mm-hmm. And it's not a bad place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Suffice it to say, everybody's got to start someplace. But mm-hmm. then when you're moving forward, there's some things in Toastmasters that you don't learn. That doesn't mm-hmm. make them bad. Right. Oh, no, ma'am. Mm-hmm. It is a great place to start. Mm-hmm. Some of my best clients and most fun came from Toastmasters because mm-hmm. they're moving up. Mm-hmm. They're doing some different things mm-hmm. now. So, start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. But and again, you're probably going to have to do this, you know, whether it's that you're speaking in front of your volunteer group or your team or, you know, 5,000 people in an auditorium, you're probably going to have to be talking. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can you get the attention of the teenagers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your boss, mm-hmm. like you said, your team. If you are talking to more than one person, you are a public speaker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like even this right here, you know, public speaking has changed.
Right.
People used to think public speaking, mm-hmm. I need to be on a stage in front of 5,000 people.
No, now we're on Zoom.
We're on Zoom. Mm-hmm. There are panels. Mm-hmm. If you're not comfortable being on stage alone, find a panel discussion right. that you can get. We teach people how to do panels because believe mm-hmm. me, that is a whole nother mm-hmm. skill.
Right.
What about a webinar? Mm-hmm. If you don't want people to see your face, mm-hmm. you can now get on Zoom or Lumi or wherever, and you can now do mm-hmm. a webinar for mm-hmm. 30 or 45 mm-hmm. minutes. Nobody has to see mm-hmm. you. You just got to get your voice together. Mm-hmm. What about being a moderator? How right. about moderating things? What about being an MC? Have you mm-hmm. thought about that? There are more ways to be on stage mm-hmm. than you can imagine.
Right.
Don't limit yourself mm-hmm. to, I need to be an arena mm-hmm. of 5,000 mm-hmm. people. Believe me, you do it right once or twice, that'll right. show up.
Oh, too. Yeah. Well, and it is a skill that employers and people look for. I remember I had a gentleman one time who was, again, LinkedIn training. And he said, I'm applying for managerial positions and I'm not getting anything. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we're kind of looking through. And he had in his LinkedIn bio that he was an elder at his church. So right. he was like, do I have that or not? And I said, I mean, it wasn't some, you know, wild church. And I said, here's what I'm going to tell you about that. What are the skills that yeah. that are transferable? And so he managed right. budget. He did hiring. And he spoke every Sunday from the lectern. And I said, ding, 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 ding. You know, I said, we don't need to know how many hallelujahs and God blesses you're doing. But if you just say, you know, I speak before my congregation every week.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it was so funny because he called me a couple of weeks later. He'd been in for an interview and they told him, we saw that in your LinkedIn profile and we knew you were the person who could speak to all of these other people. Yeah. And so it was funny because, yeah, he was talking religion, but it's like, no, we're not talking about the religion. We're talking about that, like that skill set.
Skill.
Mm-hmm. You know, and military obviously is a great, who yeah. people are, you know, they're saying, well, you know, either I can't put it in there. I'd have to kill you. Or they don't realize that what they did, they were speaking, they were doing budgets, they were managing right. teams, all of those things. And so that's what you put in and promote about yourself.
Yeah. My husband is retired military after mm-hmm. 20 years. And that was one of the things, you know, mm-hmm. guys and gals in the military for longer than 10 or 15 years, mm-hmm. they have a specific language that no right. one else speaks mm-hmm. other than them. Mm-hmm. And to pick out the transferable mm-hmm. skills can be difficult.
Right.
You know, you may have somebody who is an E5, mm-hmm. an E6, E7, and they're like, well, I never was a leader of something. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's look at it. Have you ever done this? They're mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, sweetie, that's leadership.
Yeah.
What do you? But again, because mm-hmm. of the language, you know, all the acronyms, all right. the things that mm-hmm. are indigenous to mm-hmm. that particular mm-hmm. Industry. Mm-hmm. You may not know that you have a transferable skill like public speaking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can do this and people do it every day and don't realize it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know, and the funny thing, you know, speaking of words, when I first decided to be a speaker, right, and put myself out there as a speaker and a presenter and a keynote and all of those things, the fabulous Laura Slack, who was, she was head of the National Speakers Association for a while, all sorts of things. I know her from when we lived together in Colorado, and she's looking through my stuff and she said, I'm going to make one suggestion that will change everything.
Uh-oh.
And I was thinking, she's going to tell me, don't do it. I mean, right? You know. And she said, you say over and over again, you're a public speaker. I said, yeah. And she said, you are a professional speaker. That means you are paid to speak.
That's right. That's right. You yeah. better get there.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because we have in this day and age, I don't want to brag. I don't want to sound mm-hmm. pompous. This is a fact. Mm-hmm. You are paid, therefore you are a professional.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whether you got paid in ducks, meat, rolls, or cash.
Right.
You're a professional speaker. Mm-hmm. And people look at that and like, oh, they're mm-hmm. professional. Mm-hmm. You know, that too. People think that, oh, okay, so I've written a book. I've written two books. Go mm-hmm. figure. A lot of people have. But mm-hmm. people think that if you write a book, you are automatically an expert mm-hmm. at a thing.
Right.
Are you, though? I don't know. You might be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I tell my clients the same thing about being a speaker. If you are in the front of the room, mm-hmm. you are automatically the expert.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Automatically. Mm-hmm. So now let's make it look mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I love it. So now what do you tell the people who are like, oh my God, I will die. I will die if I get in front of people. I am an introvert, but my company has said I have to start giving presentations, or, mm-hmm. you know, they want me to step up at the, you know, and be the president of whatever volunteer organization.
Sure.
What do you do to those poor people who really are thinking, I want to talk to my shoes. That's it. I just want to talk to my shoes.
I love it. Some of the best speakers are introverts. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy, but it's the truth.
Right.
People believe that an introvert is somebody, I just need to be alone by myself, like mm-hmm. you said, and talk to my shoes. Introverts, they're quieter, mm-hmm. but they are also more focused.
Right.
Because I need to do this and go sit down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They will prepare more. Mm-hmm. They will give you more facts and more mm-hmm. interesting tidbits of a thing. But when they are done, mm-hmm. they are done.
Right.
So people who are introverts don't ever, that's one of the myths that we put in the book, mm-hmm. that if you're an introvert, introverts can't be good mm-hmm. speakers. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. Introverts are some of the best speakers. Mm-hmm. People wouldn't look at me and go, oh my God, you must be such an introvert. But I learned a new word. I'm what they call an ambivert. Mm-hmm. When I'm right. on, I am on,
right.
I am popping.
Mm-hmm.
But when mm-hmm. I'm done, I'm so done.
Mm-hmm. I'm so right. Done. Yeah.
I want to talk to my shoes. Mm-hmm. But if you are an introvert, don't panic. Mm-hmm. Not only can you do this, you're probably going to do it much better mm-hmm. because right. of your being an introvert. Mm-hmm. You want to get in, get mm-hmm. out, and go sit down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, we work with them mm-hmm. as well.
Well, and that's where you really have to know, okay, I'm going to be good at giving that presentation, but if I have to do a Q&A, or a meet and greet, right? You're like,
yeah, for introverts. Q&A, believe it or not, for a Q&A, an introvert is not as hard for them. Mm-hmm. Or not. And we train on Q&A mm-hmm. because there are people, and Deb, you've been there. Mm-hmm. You've seen the one who wants to get up and ask you a question that has nothing to do with
right. Just, yeah.
Or the person who gets up and is like, well, back in my day when we did it, you know, mm-hmm. they know everything. Mm-hmm. And then you have the person who wants to challenge your expertise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are my favorite. And then the nutbag who's like, look at me. I'm amazing. I'm fabulous. I don't. Uh-huh. So we actually train people on what to do in mm-hmm. Q&A because mm-hmm. people think that, well, if they ask you a question, you have to know an answer mm-hmm. and you have to give it. Well, you don't have to know the
right.
answer. If you have that know-it-all, okay, this one's for free. If you're in a talk and it's Q&A time and you have a know-it-all in the crowd and someone asks you a question, give it to the know-it-all.
Ah, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that answer, but
Bert can answer that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let them have it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but we train things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, Q&A can be tough, but there's a way to handle it. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to handle it professionally mm-hmm. and succinctly. Because
right.
sometimes Q&A can go as long as your talk. Mm-hmm. But as the speaker, the one on the stage, you are in mm-hmm. charge of orchestrating mm-hmm. that. And we try to help you do that
right.
as well.
Right. You know, and some of that is basic. You know, the repeat the question back.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is it's giving you time to prepare your thoughts.
Sure.
But more than likely, nobody else in the room knew what the question was because, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't have a mic on that person. And you yeah. want to make sure you're answering the question right. You know, yeah. and so that's perfectly fine to echo that back. Sure. You know, and
you should a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, too, we tell people when you're talking and we've all been there, mm-hmm. you're doing your talk, blah, 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 all the things. And then does anyone have any questions? No one.
Right. Nobody has a question. And you're like, oh,
well, no. And we train people to the reason they don't have a question because their brains weren't ready for the Q&A part. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we train people to do is you have two or three questions ready for you.
It.
So mm-hmm. here's what you do. This is what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have any questions? Crickets, crickets, crickets. Then you say, Well, usually when I do this talk, one of the questions I get is,
right,
what should I wear mm-hmm. when I speak? And then you answer the
mm-hmm.
question.
Mm-hmm.
Then you stop and say, is there something else that anybody mm-hmm. else has? Now, all of a sudden,
you kind of prime in the pump.
Mm-hmm. You're priming the pump. You're giving them an opportunity. They're like, oh, yeah, I did think of that. Now you have questions.
Right.
And it also keeps that awkward silence from going on too long. You're mm-hmm. like,
and, right. Because then you're thinking, do I just them? End? Do I?
Exactly. And we teach people how to end their talks too, because that's another thing. Okay. So you're talking. You do your Q&A and then you say, thank you. And what happens when you say thank you? People start clapping.
Yes.
Yay! Because it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Is it though? Because you left out an element.
Yeah.
You left out your call to action.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you said the final word, which mm-hmm. is thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So we teach our clients, don't say thank you first. Mm-hmm. No, 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 no.
It's been great to be here. I want to remind you.
I appreciate your time. You know, you being here, you didn't have to be here. You could have been anywhere. I appreciate you being here.
Mm-hmm.
We are so grateful. Again, give it up for our host, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But before you go, I would like to tell you, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Then, because if you're going to say thank you, it is literally mm-hmm. your last word.
Right.
Because as people in the audience, mm-hmm. we are conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you means clap. Ta-da!
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da! Okay. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
So we train that too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing, there's always going to be distractions. There's going to be mm-hmm. something that happens. And,
yeah.
you know, that's always the entertaining part is, do you acknowledge it? Do you not? You know, how many times have we been at a presentation and especially a keynote that's with a meal and mm-hmm. poor service people drop the tray, right? Mm-hmm. You know, now they're mortified. And so, you know, there is that elephant in the room. So, you know, do you acknowledge it? Now, you know, you don't want to embarrass them. Right. You just dropped that tray.
Oh, my God, I dropped the tray.
But yeah. How do you kind of acknowledge it and then bring the people back?
Yeah. And you did exactly right. You have to acknowledge it. And you don't want to embarrass anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking, whatever. The tray of food drops.
Mm-hmm.
You briefly stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you may say something humorous like, well, lunch is going to be a little late.
Yeah. Sorry, table two, you're not getting your meal.
Exactly. Acknowledge it. Or if depending on what it is, I hope everybody's okay over there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and then you bring them back in. Mm-hmm. But while they're getting that cleaned mm-hmm. up, we're going to continue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let your audience know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know. It's like a turn signal.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to say nobody turns without turning on the signal, but I live in Texas.
Oh yeah. Anyway. Nobody uses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bother.
Turn
just,
signal.
I don't know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you do want to let people know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge it. Now bring them back, but
right.
we're going to continue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Now they've acknowledged it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's looked,
mm-hmm.
everybody's now turned mm-hmm. back. Da, da, da.
Right. Right.
It sounds simple, but it can be tough if you're mm-hmm. flustered. If you are
right.
not prepared for the unexpected,
mm-hmm.
you will expect to be unexpected.
Right. Something will happen.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes what happens is your tech fails. You know, and I mean, that's, and so anybody who is giving a presentation where you absolutely positively have to have your PowerPoint slides, no, you know, and
print it and bring them with you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, or say, you know, here's, you know, for, you know, oops, we don't have them. So we're going to email them out to everybody. But, mm-hmm. you know, that comes back to what we were saying at the very start. You know, don't be the person that turns your back on the audience and just reads from your slides. Somebody told me one time, and I have no idea where this came from, but it's something I'm like, oh, I like this. Never have more than 17 words on a slide.
That is exactly right.
I don't know where the 17 came from, but I try and aim for that.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things is our human brain, if
mm-hmm.
it's up there, we have to read it.
Right.
One of the things that I do personally, mm-hmm. I won't have more than five to 10 mm-hmm. words on a slide.
Right.
And some slides, there's only a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because your slides can be a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Right. I love the, this is too small for any of you to read, but then don't have it up there.
Exactly. Because my brain is going to be like, wait a minute, let me get my glasses because I want to know what it says.
Yeah, they felt it important enough to include it. Therefore, I should read it.
Yeah, and so don't. And again, that's part of a train the trainer type episode. And as a speaker nowadays, most speaking coordinators, they'll tell you, you only have 10 slides on for a 30 minute or something like that. And you have to really be creative. And I don't mean rewrite War and Peace on each slide.
Right.
And creative. That's crazy. But handouts are great. Like you said, we can email them to you. One of the things I love to do, especially if it's going to be a large group, and this is more for corporate training, I'll send it to my point of contact, have them print it and give it to everybody.
Yep. Hand it out in advance even.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, there are so many things, so many tricks of the trade, if you will. The biggest thing that I can tell anybody about speaking on a stage as a moderator, get some training. Just because you can form a word and can talk does not necessarily make you a speaker.
Right.
Get some training. And training is out there. And yeah, you can get training from free to $25,000.
Right. You know, and again, it's about knowing the audience, being prepared. I had to write a speech one time for someone who was speaking to an international audience. And so the tricky part, he was using a teleprompter, but he was also told you cannot deviate from what you have sent us because the translators were already saying that, you know, his thing that was going on. And so if he was talking about, you know, the brown cow and his speech had talked about the ugly duck, it was not going to match. Right.
Exactly.
And so, but it took us forever to work with him on that teleprompter.
Yeah.
Because you know,
another thing, if you're doing international speaking, make sure that any of the anecdotes that you use translate internationally. If I were in the States and I said, you know, hey, just like E.F. Hutton, when so-and-so speak.
Yeah. And they're going to be.
Know what that is.
Yeah. Or the demographic, right? You and I know E.F. Hutton. Our millennials are going to go.
Who? What's that? You got to know your audience. And if you're doing something like that, any anecdotes and stories, make sure they translate, you know, translate over.
Right. Right.
So many little tricks, girl.
It is. You know, but it all comes back to exactly one thing, being prepared. You know, we need to put our little Boy Scout hats on and just be prepared. Now, that's not to say that we can't, you know, like I said, I took an extemporaneous class. So, you know, and now one of my other favorite things is improv. Now, I have never done that, but, you know, I have so many people who have said they have become so much better speakers because they took an improv class.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that's one of the best things that Toastmasters does. They have something called Table Topic.
Yeah.
And you just here's the topic and just start speaking for 2 minutes. So great. If you're doing an improv class, so great. Why? Because something is going to happen.
Right.
Be ye ready, y'all. Be ye ready.
Yeah.
Improv is great. Yeah.
You know, and it is perfectly fine to say, I don't know, you know, like during the Q&A, you know, hey, Ricky, tell us about such and such. I'm sorry. You know, I don't know.
Sure. I've never done that before. And then what I do, does anybody in the audience, anybody else had that happen to them? Somebody knows. Or, you know, I am not sure, but I'm going to get with Susan.
Yeah. And we'll get you that information.
And we'll get you that information. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Right. 100%.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The worst thing is to try and fake it. Right. Like you said, you know, remember, well, when I was in Vietnam.
Yeah. You know? Remember, we are fact checking in real time, y'all.
Oh, yeah. You know, but speaking of that, don't try and do it yourself. Well, hey, I'll look it up here real fast. No, because then it's going to be squirrel. And, you know, and I'll be like, oh, wait, there was a cat video that, what, you know, and or I'll spell something wrong and the wrong thing will come up. And yeah, no. Do not, and I mean, the easiest thing, folks, unless you're using it for your timer, leave your phone off the stage. You know, and speaking of that timer, you know, what a great segue. Right? So we do only have about 5 minutes left because I set a timer. And it's funny because I always set a timer for this program because we have so much fun that we just would keep going. When you're giving a presentation, if you're told you have 15, 50, 5, whatever, have a timer or have somebody who's going to go, hello,
Yeah, you know, you're done.
Yeah, because we have no concept of time when we're speaking. So have that timer. That's perfectly acceptable. You know, if you're really big things, I mean, they'll have it there for you. But yeah, yeah, it's perfectly fine to do that.
That's true.
So like I said, we are almost out of time. So Ricky, tell us about how they find you when they say, oh my gosh, I know I need to do this. I need to hire her. So how do they find you and what are the services that you provide?
So my name is Ricky Smith. It's R-I-K-K-I Smith. You now know everything there is to know to find me on social media. I am on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Mm-hmm. And look up Ricky Smith. If you can't find me, you ain't looking. There's that. Mm-hmm. Some of the services right now, actually, Deb, we're getting ready to start our public speaking cohort.
Cool.
People can go over and register and in a 4-week class that we do. And it starts May 9th.
May 9th. Very cool.
Registration is open now. Come on in, jump in. We, you know, we do a lot of what we're talking about here. We kind of go in depth and we do it as a group. And that's always fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, and for those who are listening to this years, months in the future, just check out the website. There's all sorts of other programs.
Edittrains.com. And there is public speaking for individuals, for groups. There's 1 hour, 2 hour, 4, 6, or 8 week programs. Come on over. Hang out with me. It'll be fun.
I love it. Yeah, you can tell. It's boring. We're not going to like this.
Yeah, it's on the drag.
Yeah. So, you know, Ricky, we've laughed and we've joked a lot during this, but I do want to remind folks, this is probably one of the best skills that you need to have, is how to be a public speaker. Maybe it is just to catch the attention of your 15-year-old who's not paying attention to you. Maybe it's to get a raise. Maybe it's, you know, some big thing where you are presenting to thousands of people, or maybe you're just on a Zoom call, right? Having public speaking skills is absolutely critical.
Yep, it is. And it is because it can be learned. You can do this.
Right.
Become an advocate for yourself or for others. But in order to do that, you're going to have to talk to people. And don't be scared.
Right.
Like, they're like bugs. They're more afraid of you than you are of them.
Right, right.
You know.
And don't think of them as being in their underwear. No, that not.
Oh, God, let that go. Please let that go. That's one of the myths we have in the books. Do you really want to think about your boss in his underwear? Let's not. Ew, ew.
No, no. Yeah, I mean, that's going to give me the giggles, right? If I look out there and go, oh, no. Yeah.
Right there.
But yeah, you know, it is one of those things. But, you know, we mentioned it. You've got a great book. You've got all sorts of information. We will have all those links. But do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
Thank you so much. First of all, I appreciate being here. This has been so much fun.
Oh,
for everybody listening, you are not broken. You don't need to be fixed. Your speaking style is perfect and your message matters. Let's clean it up and present it to the world in a package that they can receive and that will transform their lives. Learn how to do it and then really change the world with your talk.
Oh my gosh, so much fun. Well, I'm Deb Creer. I've been having a blast talking with Ricky Smith of Status Training and Consulting, and we'll have you on again, right? Because this was so much fun. But until then, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.